And good afternoon. It is a Monday, kicking off your work week, February the 6th, 2017. 12:14 coming up on 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And can you believe that Super Bowl last night? They are calling it the greatest comeback in the history of Super Bowls. The Patriots take it 34-28 over the Falcons. We're going to talk about that momentarily with a friend of mine who calls in here from time to time. I'll give him an intro when he calls in. Sean Kraft will be with us over the course of this first hour. And the next hour, we're going to be joined by legendary pro wrestler and now author of a brand new comic book, Nikolai Volkoff. And Nikolai Volkoff has a special announcement that he will make when he is on in hour number two today. So that's coming up today, as well as I don't want to say yet because I'm not sure what direction the show's going in, but we've got an interview we taped last week that we might play next hour, or we have another interview that could happen before the program is over. But as we wait for our first caller to call in, we will bring in Sean Kraft here and talk about the Super Bowl that people are calling the greatest Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls after 51 Super Bowls.
Something like that, right?
That's what I called it. The greatest Super Bowl after 51 of them.
You know, it was very unique. I never watched it. I just saw the highlights because my team wasn't in it, Dallas Cowboys. I'm just one of those kind of people. I don't watch it unless my team's
a homer.
I just don't watch it unless my team's in it, that's all. I mean,
so it's not really about the game. It's about the team.
Yeah, mine's about the team. A lot of people liked about the game. But mine is since Dallas Cowboys was not in it, I was angry about it. They should have been. But
and what is it about the team, that team, the Cowboys?
Well, that I like. I always liked them since since I was like 5 years old. I like their uniforms. I just like the colors, the blues and navies and the grays. I just like the atmosphere of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, one of these days, I am going to get to go to the game.
I think we're getting our call here, so we'll take our call. And then we will come back to Sean. But as we have talked about this morning, Super Bowl 51 certainly proved to be the greatest Super Bowl. That's what people are saying this morning. Greatest Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls. And the last thing that happened in the sports world that was on par with this, I believe, was the World Series last October, when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series in 7 games after 108 years of not winning the Super Bowl. It was an amazing event, and it's a good year for sports, and there's only one guy who we can bring on who can describe all that. He's a good friend of this program, and I don't think he's been on since the World Series, so it's high time we have him back on. Former HBO boxing analyst, all-around good guy, Larry Merchant. Larry, how are you?
Good morning, Scott.
Yes, good to talk with you. How about that Super Bowl?
Well, it was a great drama, melodrama, great theater. From my vantage point, it was like two games in one. The pleasure for those who wanted of seeing the king knocked off his throne for three quarters, seeing a rout as though a new dynasty was being established in professional football, and then seeing the king get off the floor and come back and win in the most unlikely fashion at the end of the game. So you gotta tip your hat to, or your crown to, the Patriots and Brady, and it's an amazing ball club.
You know, Larry, two things I heard this morning were the greatest Super Bowl comeback of all time and Tom Brady, the greatest football player of all time. Do you agree with either one of those?
No.
I didn't think you would.
Look, in the excitement of the moment, of course, I get it, and that's a great tribute to the game, the particular game, the game of football, the game of pro football as it's played now. But there have been other... And, you know, that it's why I like to say about prize fighters, they're the best of their time. nobody knows how they would perform against the best of another time. It's all speculative, and that's all part of the deal. I get it. But I covered Super Bowl III, the Joe Namath Super Bowl, and though it didn't have the great rally come from behind adventure, it couldn't have been a bigger story of Joe Namath, who represented the anti-establishment cause of the 60s and 70s, and was a provocative personality, and predicting they would beat the Colts, who were the Patriots of their time with Johnny Unitas. Although he played only sparingly in that game, and they won the game, and it was like, as one football player said to me, it was as though Copernicus had just discovered that the Earth rotates around the sun and not vice versa.
You know, Larry, anybody who listens to this program will know I'm a far greater baseball fan than football fan. But I had some people over last night, and so the game was on. Normally, I probably wouldn't have even watched the game. I do have to admit that. And I didn't hear a whole lot of hoopla. I was even saying that yesterday. I went out and had lunch yesterday, and I was saying to somebody, you know, for being the most watched thing on television all year round, this doesn't feel like Super Bowl Sunday. But I'm watching the game last night because it's on, and I have some people over. And I'm thinking, this is why. It's a blowaway. Nothing's happening here. The third quarter, they're still not doing well. What happened in the fourth quarter?
Well, first, let me say that I had the same feeling and had a discussion with somebody about that, a friend of mine in New York. And I proposed that a part of the reason was the political atmosphere in the country today, which is a bigger show every day or every hour than the Super Bowl, and that seemed to overpower all other events, so that maybe in some way it subverted the pregame hoopla, but the game itself will get a lot of postgame hoopla, including people saying that Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, and this is the greatest comeback. And I'm not questioning that people feel that way. I'm just saying they felt that way at other times, and that's fine. It goes along with fun and games. So that's why I felt that somehow the politics of the moment has become the great spectator show in America.
I thought it was interesting. Donald Trump was the pregame show last night. He was the big entertainment before the Super Bowl. The restaurant I was at yesterday was essentially a place where people go to watch a football game. It wasn't a sports bar, but what did they have on? And I was at that restaurant until about 5 o'clock. They had on CNN. It's interesting.
Well, you know, there's been... there are a lot of people who think that we elect not a president but a CEO or a king, and the first few weeks have been filled with static electricity, and we're not used to, and so there's a curiosity about whether it's the stagecraft or the improvisational government issuing proclamations and tweets every 5 minutes. So I guess that's something that's attractive. And there are, of course, a lot of people who are Trump people, as you told me many months ago in Ohio. And I guess they love it.
You know, I didn't...
It's an alternate universe, as one of their spokesmen says about facts.
Well, I've told this story, but I don't think I've said it to you, Larry, because I don't know we've spoken since the election. I knew Ohio was going to go for Trump. It just, the closer we got, the more apparent that became. But Hillary, I thought, was still going to win it. But the weekend before the election was on Tuesday, and I took a little vacation that weekend right up to Election Day. I didn't come back till Monday morning. And we went up to northern Michigan. The northernmost point of Michigan, and I did not see a Hillary sign anywhere all weekend in Michigan, and I saw Trump signs a lot of places.
Well, that proved to be more accurate than the polls.
Well,
the passion that Trump voters had for their guy, the polls weren't the polls were right and wrong at the same time. The polls indicated, as I recall, that she was going to win the national election by 2 or 3 points, which she did. But that's not the way we count in an election, and he won it fair and square.
Being in the sports world for so long, as you have been, you have seen a lot of pro athletes of different nationalities, different countries, different religions. What do you make of the what they called a Muslim ban, and then Donald Trump says it's not, and then last Friday the judge overturned it, and here we are again? What do you make of this this thing that's going on at the airports?
Well, I've been thinking of Kellyanne Conway's discussion about alternate facts. We all know it was a Muslim ban. We all know it was a present he was giving to his followers because he said he would do something like this. I mean, we know that, and he indicated it by saying they would make it easier for Christians to come to America from those seven countries. Which, incidentally, none of them have ever produced a terrorist or the son of an immigrant who became a terrorist. Not one of them. So it was a kind of a show trial. And people are remarkably collecting in the streets and protesting these things. In almost every occasion that I've seen it protesting peacefully, and I think we'll see how Congress reacts. The people who are going to be up for election in 2 years, whether any of this blowback potentially affects them. So Trump is doing what Trump said he would do, but we have institutions in place that don't allow our president to act like a king or a Putin. The courts have already bitten him back. We'll see if that slows down some of the wish list that he has and wants to install in our system. It's not the way business is usually conducted in our country, and we'll see if it has some meaning. I just saw with a headline in a newspaper this morning about how business leaders are suddenly getting a little bit shaken by what's going on. And, of course, the whole business is Bowling Green. I mean, you couldn't make that up, Todd.
Now that was pretty good.
You could not make that up, and it indicates for people who love Donald Trump and what he's doing, and because it's so unpolitical on a national scale, certainly If Donald Trump says 2 + 2 = 5, that's just an alternate truth.
And
they want to believe it.
And on that note, being our business, Larry, of journalism, here's Donald Trump this morning. Here's the quote. Any negative polls are fake news, just like the CNN, ABC, NBC polls in the election. Sorry, people want border security and extreme vetting. It's all fake news, Larry. It's
well, I mean, here's a guy who for 5 years was promoting the real fake news, the original fake news, that Obama was not an American. He's the expert on that. He originated it. He became a president in part based on his insistence that Obama was not an American and that his investigators had found out stuff about Obama that you wouldn't believe. All of which he discarded with one sentence during the election cycle. So, I understand everybody doesn't have a chance to check out the facts, but here's one of the interesting, unpredictable side effects of all this. Newspaper circulation has gone up in America. When is the last time that happened? So there are people out there who want to get the facts as they can be dug out and surfaced by the fourth part of government called the fourth estate, the press.
And we hope that goes that way. Just a quick note. As I mentioned, he got a big interview last night with Bill O'Reilly. And this is the big quote that came out of it this morning. And I'm going to read it just as it is. President Donald Trump appeared to equate U.S. actions with the authoritarian regime of Russian President Vladimir Putin in an interview released Saturday, played Sunday, saying, "There are a lot of killers. You think our country's so innocent?" Trump made the remark during an interview with Fox News' Bill O'Reilly, saying he respected his Russian counterpart. And O'Reilly said, "But he's a killer," he said to Trump. And Trump said, "There are a lot of killers. You think our country's so innocent?"
Well, he has, both before, especially before he ran for office, talked about Iraq as a wreck, a bad idea, that the government lied to us about why we were going there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he is consistent on that. And, of course, we gloss over our history of killing and so on and so forth. So I would say that it was the pregame upset to hear him say it again.
and on a boxing note, because it's going around, Mayweather and Conor McGregor, what is this? Are we going to see something here?
Well, it's boxing and MMA, so why wouldn't they try to make it? Would it be a fight? I've asked some people who have asked me. I said, if Conor McGregor, if they fought by the rules of the MMA, what would happen? Oh, well, Conor McGregor would destroy him. I said, so if they fight by boxing rules, doesn't it stand to rule to stand? End up that Mayweather would do the same to him? Of course. It could. I don't see how it could even be sanctioned as a, quote, fight. It would be an exhibition, and certainly places like Las Vegas, it would be a big party, and they would make a lot of money, and so why would you rule it out? But as in virtually all Mayweather fights, the action stops as soon as the first bell rings.
And just to tie a knot in our Super Bowl conversation, if you had to describe in one of those great Larry Merchant soliloquies that would happen at the end of a boxing match. What happened in that fourth quarter last night in the Super Bowl?
You could say class told. You could say Atlanta blew the moment. But at the end of the day, Brady with Belichick in his ear proved again how potent that combination has been over the years. You know, Scott, I have a daughter who went to school in Ann Arbor. And I went up to see her one football season and went to a game. And it was Tom Brady's first start.
Oh.
I'd never heard of him. He played nicely. The quarterback for the other team, Purdue, was Drew Brees. I kept asking people around me, who is Drew Brees, because he looked so great. Purdue actually upset Michigan at Ann Arbor. So I've been following Brady for a long time, and he is as good a pocket quarterback and as strong a leader and with as much composure as any athlete I've seen. And at his age, and given the storyline of him in the league, in which he was benched for four games this year, it's a hell of a performance and a hell of a story, and I'm sure it will endure in New England longer than Plymouth Rock.
And that's the way it is, to borrow a term from Walter Cronkite. The absolute best, Larry Merchant. Larry, thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Take care. Bye-bye. Larry, see, because I don't know a darn thing about what happened last night, it's good to bring old Lair in. And we'll bring old Sean Kraft back in right now. Go ahead, old Sean.
Oh, old Sean.
Well, when you call him old Lair, you got to say old Sean.
Oh, okay.
So what'd you think of all that?
It was very interesting about, you know, Tom Brady is pretty good, but
not the greatest.
Not the greatest, I don't think.
No, sorry to hear. Yeah. Sorry for all you Patriots fans out there. Okay, so let's just get into it. We opened up a little bit with it there this morning, but because we love to get people angry, I guess. Donald Trump this morning: any negative polls are fake news, just like the CNN, ABC, NBC polls in the election. Sorry, people want border security and extreme vetting. So the polls that say that they don't want this Muslim ban, which is not a Muslim ban, which Larry Merchant said, of course it's a Muslim ban. He says the polls that you're seeing are all wrong. They're all fake news. What do you think?
That's what he calls it all, don't he? Don't he call it all?
If he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
If he doesn't like it, it's fake news.
Yeah.
You think it's fake news?
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's. I'm sure they're trying to ban the Muslims. They're trying to. But then they overturned it, right?
Well, Friday, a Ninth District judge has said it's unconstitutional to do this, so now it's going to ride possibly up until the Supreme Court and some attorney generals, and it's going to get messy now.
Well, my problem is, too, we was talking about it the other night. Why in the world are you... He didn't ban everybody, did he?
No, just seven countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not the... several countries that it's not the worst countries that he banned.
Well, I mean, it depends on how you want to define worst countries, but the terrorists who came from 9/11 and the terrorists who have done damage here, zero came from any of these countries.
Definitely.
Zero.
So that's a problem.
So why'd he do it?
I don't know why he does what he does. He signs all these executive orders for, I have no idea why.
Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, the other big story was the other one I got to, and this is kind of interesting because back to Putin. And people always say, well, why are you talking about Donald Trump? Why are you talking about Putin? It's because he's talking about Putin. He's talking about him. What do you think of the quote? Here it is. Bill O'Reilly said to Donald Trump last night in an interview, he said, because he was asking Trump said he admired, basically, Vladimir Putin, respected him. And Bill O'Reilly said, but he's a killer. And Donald Trump said, there are a lot of killers. You think this country's so innocent? What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. It's, you know, he's not our ally. That's the problem. He's not one of our allies. He is a, to me, he's a dictator. So why in the world are we, I don't understand why Donald Trump's
listen,
admired by
him. I understand what he's saying. I understand he's saying, you know, things like Hiroshima, I think. I don't really know what Donald Trump's saying, but this is what I assume he's saying. That, like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we dropped that on innocent people. The war in Iraq, a lot of innocent people have been killed. Frankly, every war we've ever been in, from World War II, World War I, Korea, Vietnam, innocent people do get killed. It happens. I mean, that's unfortunately why war, you hope, is your last result, because you don't want to do that. And the drones, yes, the drones took out people, and sometimes they were innocent people. Yes, it did happen. There's no doubt about it. But I don't know that journalists have been executed in this country by our own government. I don't know that people have been executed in this country purposely just because they disagreed with the government, American citizens. I don't know if people are pulled out of their homes in the middle of the night for disagreeing with the government. And that's the difference. And people have called in and said, well, you think this country is so clean and clear? Well, no. I tell this story all the time. I quiz people. I say, you know, we're always so worried about nuclear weapons. Well, you know, only one time in the history of the world has a country used a nuclear weapon on another country. Do you know who that country was? It was us. So I get that we've done things sometimes that could be viewed as not good, but we don't do them to our own people. There is a difference, you know. When you're at war with a country, sometimes you do things that maybe you shouldn't do. Whether you think the war is right or wrong, and a lot of people thought the Iraq war was wrong, but it was war, and they were not our own country. Russia, when we're talking about Putin killing people, he kills his own people just because they disagree with him. If he thinks somebody crosses him, he kills them. He kills journalists who write things that he doesn't like. It's a little different, is it not?
No, it's definitely different. He's just one of those kind of...
He's a dictator who masquerades as a president who was elected. I mean, he worked for the KGB, for goodness sakes. Of course he killed people.
And he rigged his election?
I don't know. I can't say that. I haven't seen the paperwork on that yet.
Well, that's what people think that he did.
Well, he interfered in the election. I don't know if he rigged it. Yeah. But why does Donald Trump not see the difference?
I don't know. I guess he must be friends with Putin.
Yeah, but he won the election. And here's the answer we always get. Why not be friends with Russia? Which is what Donald Trump says. Why not be friends with him? Well, there's nothing wrong with being friends with him. That's not an issue at all. That's not the issue on the table. The issue is why is he so in love with them, but people like Australia and Mexico and certain Muslim countries, the five that are on the ban list, Canada, why does he not have any love for them? Why is it such an effusive love with Russia? There's nothing wrong with getting along with Russia. Get along with them all day long. That's good. No war is good. But why does he hang up the phone on the Australian people? Why does he threaten the Mexican people? They're our allies. They're our friends. Why is he mean to our friends but angry with our enemies? Or happy with our enemies?
Well, I think he just has his priorities in the wrong direction, as far as I'm concerned, at this point.
But why Russia? Why not North Korea?
Well, I mean,
why not be friendly with North Korea to stop that guy's nuclear weapon?
No, maybe because Russia has some stuff on him.
Well, we don't know that, though.
Yeah.
That's only conjecture. But when he keeps making these comments, he will not say anything negative about Putin. He just won't do it.
Because I think somewhere down the line, people are going to realize that they are friends.
I don't know. Give us a call.
Or you might have some business.
You know who's going to have an interesting opinion on that? It's Nikolai Volkov, who's coming up next hour, who was born in Lithuania and spent time in Russia back in the 50s and 60s. So, you know, maybe he has a theory on this whole thing. So, and he knows Donald Trump. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring, and we will put you up on the air. What do you think of Larry Merchant? What do you think of that Super Bowl last night? What do you think of that Super Bowl pre-show? And see, here's the problem. This is the problem. Now, normally, we'd just be talking about Super Bowl and Super Bowl commercials and all that sort of thing. But what was the pre-show last night for the Super Bowl?
I didn't
Donald watch. Trump.
Was it really?
It was Bill O'Reilly interviewing Donald Trump on Fox.
Oh,
so what do you do? You, even they put that on before the Super Bowl. You know, it's not us making these decisions. That's what drives the news.
Of course he wanted to be on television.
Yeah, but I think they asked him because they knew he'd go on and he'd say something like that. And here we'd be talking about it the next day, which is just how it goes.
That's how he keeps everything rolling.
What did you make of Howard Stern's comments? We talked a little bit about this last Friday. Howard Stern's comments that that Donald Trump really didn't want to be president, that he was a big Hillary supporter. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think that's 100% accurate.
Why not? Why not?
I mean, he won.
Well, he won. But that doesn't mean maybe he wanted to be president. I'm saying back when he initially decided to run, do you think he really wanted to be president?
Well, he dropped a lot of money. I don't know anybody would drop all that kind of money.
Well, I think once the polls started to he showed he was leading in the polls, I think, well, then he thought, okay, well, let's get involved. But do you think when he originally came down the stairs that was the initial plan, that I'm going to be president?
No, I think he was trying to help her out first. You're right. And but I think he realized, this is a competition now. And
well, I think he realized he hit a nerve with people.
Yeah.
And he did hit a nerve with people. But what nerve do you think he hit? What do you think he got people to do?
Following.
Yeah, but why? What was he saying that was so popular?
I think it's more because Make America Great Again. People... Make America Safe Again. And I think a lot of it was just the way he his reactions. People love that kind of reaction. Never had a president in there and just talk the top of your head. And that's what he does. He don't have a filter. He just says whatever he wants to say.
But is that good?
Not professionally good, but times are changing now, so.
Yeah, but do you think that puts us, it's not, he can talk however he wants to the American people, but how do you think that goes with other countries and business?
Bad. Makes us look like a joke.
And what will that do in the long run?
Probably cause conflicts, with especially when he's trying to put tariffs on everything, and it's just.
Now, people say we won't give Donald Trump a chance here. Now, do you think we give Donald Trump a chance?
We are giving him a chance. You know, I mean, he's in the office right now. But the problem is what stuff that he does while he's in office right now. The comments that he makes, things that his choices that he makes, they're just not making sense to me.
Well, why do you think, we heard what Larry thought about the Muslim ban. Why do you think he chose those five countries?
I really don't know. Like I said, I obviously it doesn't make sense to me because none of those countries gave us any issues.
Well, you were having a conversation the other night when we were at dinner off the air about that tied in with gun control. So give your thought on that again, because I thought that tied in well with that whole conversation of the Muslim ban.
Oh, you mean about...
About what? Because it all started off because of a conversation about Hillary Clinton and guns during the campaign and what she wanted, and what it has to do with terrorists, not Muslims, but terrorists today.
Oh, you mean far as like the gun control? Oh, I think Hillary was just trying to increase the background checks.
But. To this day, long after the election, where the election's been over 3-4 months ago now, people still believe that...
Hillary wanted to take the guns away.
And for the final time, why don't you set the record straight on that?
She was not trying to take the guns away. She was just trying to increase the security and background checks. And what that means is she was just trying to keep people from... that are on a terrorist watch list, from getting the gun. She was trying to get people that is convicted in kind of felony not to get a gun and increase the background checks.
And a no-fly list.
And no-fly list. So, I mean, to me, that's not taking away the guns. It's taking away the guns of some of the people that are crazy. And also, she wanted to increase the background checks for people that are mentally unstable. And I think that's good, but Donald Trump is just that's not touching it.
So what's Donald Trump's plan for guns?
No change.
No change. So what do you think when it comes to that?
That's an issue.
Why is that an issue?
Because we got to get a handle on some of these gun policies. Because
well, there aren't any anymore.
Well, no, it's not. But we need to do something. Because I half of these people that are doing these mass shootings... Well, not all of them, but most of them claim that they're mentally unstable.
We had this conversation before. Yeah. Well, the conversation we had at that time was, for somebody to go in and shoot up people that they don't even know, wouldn't you have to be mentally unstable?
I don't know. I really don't know.
If somebody did that and walked out, and say they could walk back into normal life, would you look at that person and say, yeah, that's a sane-minded person?
I don't know. I don't know if somebody can go out to shoot a gun and just pretend, you know, shoot somebody. I mean, we know somebody in this. We know somebody around here that.
go ahead.
That you know that
it happened. It happened. And so, accidents I mean, happen, and so, we don't fault anybody for that. So, but the question is do you think that? I guess the bigger question is somebody who does that same. Somebody who goes in and kills people on purpose.
No. I mean,
I'm not talking about accidents.
Well, I don't know. I mean, probably not somewhere down the line in their brain. They're probably crazy because I mean, I don't think about it. But you know, there's some people out there that can have like a double personality. One minute they're fine, and the next minute they'll just go shoot somebody. You know.
Right, but if somebody has a double personality, don't you qualify them as nuts?
I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but in my mind, yeah, probably. But, you know, some of these, okay, this is what gets me. Some of these people that do go out and do these shootings, that's the first thing they jump to. Oh, mentally unstable.
I think the reason is because the first thing they say
I
is.
I think this is the way out.
Okay, but I guess here's my question. Every action in life has a motive. Like, what would you say is your vice in life? What is your habit, your addiction?
Food.
Okay, well, that's okay. This is very simple. Okay, why do you overeat?
My stomach doesn't get full.
Okay, so there is
anyway, visually it does.
So there is a reason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, I go in and I shoot up 12 people I don't know. What's the reason?
You're angry about something?
Okay. But if I can't find the reason, if I'm the cop or the investigator, and I can, isn't that mentally unstable to go in and do that with no reason?
Probably so, but like I said, that's the first conclusion they jump to. I mean,
let me ask
that
you
doesn't
this.
Give the person the right to go shoot somebody.
Let me ask you this.
Because that gives them an easy way out.
No, it doesn't give them the right. Doesn't give them the right. But a lot of these people also commit suicide.
Oh, I know.
Okay. Is suicide a rational act?
Yes.
It is? That's a sane-minded person commit suicide. They're right in their right mind.
Well, no, I guess not.
Okay. So why go in and kill 12 people and then kill yourself? Is that sane? Is that normal? Is that everyday activity?
But I guess what triggers that? From them, why do they want to kill people before
they
kill themselves?
Some people are just born nuts.
A chemical imbalance, I guess. I don't know.
It's not always chemical. Sometimes it's emotional. You know, I mean, there have been people in this town who have committed suicide, and we never know the reason. But you always think, well, okay, I'll really narrow it down here for you, okay? Have you ever been angry?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever taken a gun and went and killed 12 strangers?
No.
Why not?
Because it doesn't go to my mind.
But why not? Why is that not the first thing that comes to your mind?
Because I don't want to do it.
We don't want to do it. Because what would be the repercussions for that?
I don't know. It could be different ones, but
Well, if you kill somebody, there's only one repercussion coming.
Well, you can go to jail, or
you can go to jail,
or get shot, or yourself, or,
right? Okay,
you know. And,
okay, so what's to say the killer? Why, when they get angry, same angry as you are, do they go buy a gun and a bunch of ammunition and start firing on people that they don't even know?
I have no clue.
Right? Would you say that is normal?
It's not normal, but I'm tired of these people. You know, it gives them a right to go out and shoot
people. Why do you think it gives them a right?
Well,
doesn't give them a right. I've never known anybody who did a mass shooting and then was let out of jail.
For instance, what I'm using this example is, I'm going to use this because this the killer is still alive in Colorado. And that drives me so nuts when they talk about that story. That guy that went into the Colorado...
guy who thought he was the Joker?
Yeah. Went in.
Is that normal?
No, it's not normal. But... the first thing they jump to, oh, he's mentally unstable. I'm sorry.
The guy thought he was the Joker. Do you think that's a mentally stable? If some guy came
anybody
in
could pretend, I could pretend I'm Superman. You know, but I'm saying this. I'll tell you what happened.
No, well, here's the question: why would you pretend? What? Why?
That's why I don't know. But what I'm saying is, he got busted.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
He probably didn't have a chance. He probably ran out of ammo to kill himself. Maybe he was going to kill himself.
But you don't know that.
I don't know.
That's an assertion.
But I'm saying he got busted. Okay. So now the first thing they jump to, well, mentally unstable. You know, bull crap.
What makes the difference?
Bull.
What do you want to do? What do you want to do?
Kill him. Put him in the gas chamber and kill him.
First of all.
Or you know what? Put him in the gun salute. Put him in a row. You don't know who officers shoot him, but you know how they do the gun salute.
First
thing
of all, we don't have firing squads in this country.
Well, we should.
I
sound like Donald Trump now.
We don't have firing squads in this country, and everybody, it is your right to have a trial by jury if you want one. Now, if you want to plead mentally unstable, the jury can say, no, we don't accept that.
Thank God they didn't accept it.
Okay, but do you think he was stable?
No. Oh, no, he wasn't a stable, no.
You think if you saw him walking down the street with a gun, dressed like the Joker, going in to shoot 12 people, didn't shoot himself, had to know he was going to jail, you think that's normal? That's everyday?
I think at the time he knew what he was doing.
There's a difference between...
Because how in the world do you... Okay.
Yeah, but hold on. I know what you're going to say, but there's a difference between know what you're doing... and in your right mind. The people who commit suicide know what they're doing, or they wouldn't turn the car on or put the gun to their head.
I know, but I just think so many times people are leading back to mental illness too much nowadays. I mean, I'm not saying that there's people who have mental illness, depression, anxiety, you know, and all that.
But this isn't that.
But I'm saying too many people are using that for excuses.
But here, it's not an excuse. The reason we fall back to that is we're trying to stop this from happening.
But it's not. It's getting worse.
Okay. Because why?
Because too many people are getting off on easy roads.
What do you mean? How's he getting off? This guy is not
shooting,
getting off.
Shooting. Kill
him. He's not getting... And that's going to be
what? Don't leave him in prison forever.
We have been killing people in this country for many years now, and the crime's not going down.
I don't know. I'm sorry, but he should not be allowed to be in prison for killing 12 people, innocent people, he should be killed.
Maybe that's what he wants. What? You ever think about that?
What?
How many of these people walk in and commit suicide? You said in your little soliloquy there that he probably ran out of ammunition and didn't kill himself. So you would have been happier had he just killed himself there, and then you wouldn't have had to hear about mental illness and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And that would have done what for the world?
Well, it wouldn't have done. It probably would have been closure to the family that they murdered.
When Osama bin Laden, who's killed more people than anybody at one time, by the way, I kept hearing, well, why didn't they bring him back here for trial? Why did they kill him on the spot? But I heard it. Heard it.
They shot him, and they threw him in the ocean, and let him start eating.
I don't know, but is it right? The question is,
I think it's right.
Is it right?
Yes.
Let's take the call. Go ahead, caller.
I think we need to bring back the work camps and let them bust rock.
There you go. Well,
I
think there's nothing wrong with that. I just think, it was weird that this subject came up today. I was watching a show on CNN last night where executioners in prisons, once they're done, are having terrible times, mental anguish.
Yeah, it's tragic to watch that.
Right, and I'm not sure.
I think we just one of the southern states, I think, still has a work farm.
Yeah, work farms are fine.
Georgia,
killing them.
Georgia or someplace like that.
Where do you come down on killing them?
Well, I just think if they if they know that they're going to go to prison and be on a work farm and have to do hard labor, that's going to be a deterrent.
But will they just commit suicide then?
Will they convict him of suicide?
I mean, will they just commit suicide? If they know that they have to go do hard labor, will they just put the gun to their head?
Well, they might. And if they do, then they've solved the problem.
But it's not going to solve the problem of the other 12 people dead who didn't have to be.
No, that's true.
But if and that's what we're trying to prevent.
And you feed him three square meals a day. And,
yeah, but now, see, and now this...
Very good.
Now, wait a second. We have had the guards on. We've had the prison people on. We've had the people who've been in prison. And this is a myth that has been perpetrated over and over and over. Number one, that it's easy in prison. We've had the guards say, absolutely not. We had the Marion guard come on here and say, the guy committed suicide out there. Said, absolutely not. It's not. Yeah. And number two, that it costs more money to execute somebody than to keep them in prison. So
it does.
Yeah.
It does.
So
I don't believe that statistic.
Well, nobody asked you if you believed it. It's the truth.
I'd like to see the statistic.
Would be a deterrent. You know, they always said, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
Let me ask you this. How is that statistic, the number that you just said, if somebody lives from 90 or 100 years old, and how much does it cost to execute somebody? There's no way.
Because you will.
No way. I don't believe that
story. I'm going to tell you why. You can throw your hands up all you want. And I'm going to tell you why it is. It's because the drugs that they use, the people they have to bring in, the time that they have to hold off for the person to appeal, the appeals process, the lawyer for the trial, because you don't know if they committed them in the beginning, you're going to rack up a bill that's astronomical. And the time you have to keep them in prison while they're on death row to begin with.
So what is the average cost to keep a prisoner
just
in prison?
Cut off their food.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we unfortunately in our Constitution it says we cannot be cruel and unusual.
Well, okay. But think about it. The utilities.
They wouldn't eat. I took the food and they wouldn't eat.
Well, listen. We have the death penalty in Ohio. Why hasn't crime went down? Why isn't it a deterrent?
I don't think that deters them because.
Right.
They get, what is it, 3 appeals, 4 appeals?
Well, and I think they go to sleep. You know, I don't think these people are fearful of going to sleep.
Well, that one guy didn't get killed.
Well, but he was, I don't think he was going to. I think if they hadn't have shot him in the arm all those times, he would have. But, you know.
I think we need the work farms back.
Well, that could be, hey, thank you for your opinion.
Alrighty.
Thank you. But that's the way it goes. And those are the facts. And we are a minute over, so we're going to take the break and come back with Nikolai Volkov. More Russian talk after this. Marion, Ohio. Garen Thomas, VFW Post 3313, located at 961 North Main Street in Marion. Telephone number 740-38362. Twitter @GarenTomVFW3313.